Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, April the 8th, 99th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, the Humboldt County Convention and Visitors Bureau Executive Director, Tony Smithers.
Hello, hey, Brian. How are you?
Confused momentarily. Ah, there it is right there.
For those of you at home, Brian's fiddling with his microphone.
Yeah, I'm screwing around with a mic because it's got the little suspension, little rubber things that keep things in it square. And so if I, we hit the counter, it doesn't go dwong through the whole thing. Pretty good sound effect, huh? You like that one? Yeah. And the mic was just kind of off kilter, and I couldn't figure it out for 30 seconds there.
Well, we should fix all of our problems so easily and so well.
That's right. Yeah, sure, you betcha. So after we'll talk a bit about what spring summer looks like for those of us along the North Coast. You shined up your ball? You're ready to go?
My crystal ball is shined up.
Yeah, okay. We'll find out how old Shiny does when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers. But before we do, there's a four-word quote. I can do that.
Drum roll, everyone.
No. I got to see if I can find a better one, too. Ah, here we go. It's kind of an adventure. That'll work. An inconvenience is only an adventure wrongly considered. An adventure is an inconvenience rightly considered.
Aha, uh-huh. That's actually a very good traveler tourism quote there.
What are you hearing about out of the airport, speaking of travel and inconvenience? What are you hearing out of the airport? Is there any motion, any movement, any thoughts? I mean, we've been teasing now for 2 years that there's a carrier right around the corner, deal's almost done. What are you hearing?
I hear that there's a carrier right around the corner, deal's almost done. There is a dedicated group led by REDEC and Don Ennis Buskey, who are working to bring in that other carrier. I believe that the deal is still the same, that we need to come up with some revenue guarantee, which is in place, and just looking for the right carrier, hopefully to the right hub.
Yeah, anything other than San Francisco would be considered the right hub, I think.
Yeah.
What do you guys project will occur to travel or visitations into Humboldt County with a second carrier and, let's say, the price of transportation charged by both carriers, whether it's United or Brand X, whoever that happens to be, comes down to, let's say, moderate pain?
Right. Well, there won't be no immediate effect because it really just creates opportunity for us to do, product development and marketing. But the hope is that we can tap into some more spur-of-the-moment travel from people who live in the big cities. But also
the weekend getaway kind of thing.
Yeah. But also, depending on where the hub is, we might fit better into some international travel plans, people who visit the United States but then want to move around the country a little bit.
So what would be Portland, Seattle? Would that be as beneficial as L.A.?
Probably not. L.A. is probably still the best choice for that purpose.
I would think market 1 or 2 versus market 10, just domestic travel. But the international folks, they come through a whole bunch of different ways, don't they?
Sure. But depending on are they doing a West Coast itinerary? Do they want to, are they cherry-picking the best of the U.S.? What is their plan?
Yeah, that's herding cats, isn't it? What do you guys project? We got the... In Eureka, the hotel that's at Wabash and Broadway.
The Holiday Inn Express, yes.
In various forms of resurrection over the last couple of years. We got the folks at Klamath that look like they're going to be up by this summertime also. Having a couple of those larger facilities like that, does that tend to crunch the other guys? Or do they tend to make us a little bit more of a destination and maybe a two-night stay.
They do, but not in maybe the way most people might think. First of all, because it's a brand that's not in Eureka right now. We have a Holiday Inn at the airport, but not in Eureka. A lot of people have sort of a brand loyalty, or they're used to
sure, their preferences.
Booking a certain way. So that puts Eureka on the map for them. So that helps.
So that would be expanding the pie?
I believe so. But then there's also just the salutary effect of, you know, what they call the wheel of retailing. When product improvement happens, everybody else has to up their game to keep up. And so everyone has, the tide lifts and the boats all get fancier.
So the one in Eureka would be doing that for those in that same general brand category?
Or
price
presumably it would have a trickle-down effect to all the rooms in Eureka.
Would the lower guys even care?
It depends what the price, how the price comes in.
$50 below a room night.
If you're $50, but what about the place that's, $10 below? Then you really have to try and catch up and make the difference.
Then it's game on. You got to do that. What about the facility in Klamath being 5 miles from the national park? Is that going to be a game changer? Because we certainly don't have anybody else with any kind of capacity that will be able to provide that same opportunity.
No, there's a built-in market for that. A lot of it is international,
so the guys you were talking about.
Right, for whom, our national park, because it's a international biosphere reserve, it's a World Heritage Site, that's on their bucket list for the U.S. So that there's a built-in segment of that market they're going to just get.
With a lack of amenities that the national park has, is that one night stay, you put your foot in the park and say, yep, okay. Rub against the redwood tree and say game over and move on to the next thing?
I'd love to argue that point, but I really can't. Not until there's more product development, more experiences that are organized and provided by tour leaders or whatever. As long as the visitor is left to themselves, unless they're a real outdoor person.
Light and elk?
Yeah, exactly. You and I know who live here and love everything about Humboldt County. There's plenty to do for days and days and days, but you have to work at it.
Yeah. Well, and that's part of why you're around here. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:19. We'll be back with more from Tony Smithers.
Sunshine for Humboldt. If you have a dog or plan to add one to your family, you'll want to know about the Humboldt Dog Obedience Group, or HumDog for short. HumDog, a nonprofit organization, began in 1978 and is run by 50 volunteers. Its purpose is to teach dogs good citizenship. HumDog conducts classes nearly every Monday evening throughout the year at Redwood Acres. There are puppy training classes, basic training for dogs over 6 months old, and more advanced classes. The modest fees are used to pay the rent and professional trainers. Each session lasts an hour. HumDog also puts on two annual events, the Dog Expo in March and the Dog Agility Trial in August. Both draw crowds of dog lovers. For those who apply for funds to spay or neuter their dog, HumDog has a special fund that may be able to help. See their website, www.humdog.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good...
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers. Tony, the concept of getting people into and out of the area, I know in the past we have had discussions about the slide. Okay, well, Confusion Hill slide now is just kind of, you have to kind of look hard even to see where the roadbed used to be.
I know.
For a lot of it. We've got 299 being straightened out. Willits is being straightened out. What about Richardson's Grove? Are you or any of the different groups that are trying to make it easier for people to come here or to get here, I guess, doing anything about Richardson's Grove? Are you weighing in on it, or is it seen as still as a political hot potato instead of something that really would open the area up for development?
Well, it is political, and my organization is specifically does not want to get involved in political, but it has also never really been framed as a tourism issue. Richardson Grove is, it forces you to slow down, But why wouldn't we want that at the first roadside experience of the really big trees? I mean, it's almost like our southern gateway to come into Humboldt County.
Something about getting out and trying to walk.
That would be great, too.
Safety issues would be the concern that I would think. Plus, when folks get here, the price of goods are a little too high, or higher than what they're accustomed to, or higher than Mendocino, or higher than somewhere else. You know, that 5-7% could be enough to maybe not have them come back as often.
Well, I'd like to see the data on that. That's a possibility.
Talk to the chambers, take your pick. I've heard way too many stories saying, yeah, 8-9% additional cost.
Right.
But more importantly for the tourist aspect, the safety through there. I mean, it is tough to get through there. I would imagine if you had an RV driving through when one of those big buses was going through, somebody's going to be sucking in a lot of air as the two pass. And there really is no place to be able to get out. I mean, on the south end there is, certainly, but once you get into it, like the old days, there used to be a couple of places you could stop, you know, the touristy kinds of places, and there's nothing. Those cabins now, I guess, are off limits. When you look at opening that up, is looking at the old Hartsook Inn, is that part of this? Is having some safe pull-offs on the side of the road?
Well, that
part
belongs,
of this,
yeah.
You look at Avenue of the Giants and say, well, let's forget about this one and let's focus on the other one.
Well, no, there's certainly a lot of attraction, the idea of that, you know, it's so close to the actual county line. It says, you know, Humboldt County, now you know where you are. It makes a lot of sense to have.
Now you're totally lost. You have no clue where you are.
Right. And I know that in the past, you know, you mentioned the Hartsook Inn. There's been a lot of speculation. Like, wouldn't that be a great welcome center, visitor center?
How about a hotel or dining facility?
Well, take your pick, because, you know, there's these things can have multiple purposes, too. But say a visitor-serving entity of some sort.
Yeah, something that's open, that's welcoming people. Yeah.
Right. No, but, you know, but you can make the case that the grandfather tree or whatever it is down there does fulfill some of that purpose. It's a, you know, you stop and get coffee, you can see what a big hollow redwood tree that someone's made into a...
Yeah, the convenience gas station could do some of that function too, but as far as something that's unique, certainly that's there, but... You know, moving a lot of people through or stopping a lot of people—that's tough to do.
Right, and to do it at a level where we really feel that we're putting our best foot forward, and so that, and it orients people as to what they can see and do in the entire county.
Because, yeah, well, it's a different business purpose, different niche that we're talking about. Yeah. What do Friends of the Redwood talk about when you mention the Hartsook?
They have long-term plans for it. Now,
does that include it being open, or does that just mean letting it rot in place until it falls down?
They're not clear, but we do know that the Save the Redwoods League has been in a sort of changing mission mode. They realize that they've gone beyond the job of preserving and saving the Redwoods, and they are starting to look at what is our role in getting people into the woods, interpreting them, and, you know, sort of making them part of our, you know, people's everyday life.
More than the 50 yards off the road deck?
Exactly.
Is that what Stone always talks about? Get them out in the woods? Yeah. And it's tough, I would imagine, for a lot of folks if you got little guys. You know, unless there's some clearly defined place, you don't want your kid running and falling off a cliff, or, you know, getting lost inside of a tree, or some of those things that are kind of unique to our area. And if you're older, frail, you know, there's really nothing that's designed for those folks either to be able to experience some of this stuff. So it's kind of interesting. The more you look at it, the more narrowly defined the marketplace is. Is there any kind of a coordinated effort to try to bring together all segments of the tourist population?
Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, funny you should ask. That conversation has been happening a lot at the Visitors Bureau. In fact, we're realizing that we kind of need to expand our focus to look at some of those in-county issues as well as the outside promotion. You know, marketing is more about advertising. It's got to be about product development as well. So, in fact, we are reforming the marketing committee, verbal, air quotes around that word. And the working title of it is Hospitality Committee, but it is to expand the focus of our industry advisors. And these are all business owners and managers and people who deal with tourism every day, to look at some of those things that might be more about the experience of what Humboldt County is.
It's 3:30.
Introducing Tapas and Tinis in the Sunset Restaurant at Sherry Heights Casino. Spring is here, so on your way home from the beach, come check out the sunset. Restaurant doors will be opening an hour earlier, offering a small plate, tapas, menu available at a discounted price from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Signature martinis will be reduced to $7, and happy hour also applies with dollar-off drafts and wells. Also, make sure to check out the new spring menu for an amazing dinner, available starting at 5 p.m. daily. The Sunset Restaurant at Sherry Heights Casino, just off the 101 in Trinidad.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:36. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers, the Executive Director of the Humboldt County Convention and Visitors Bureau. Tony, as you're looking ahead to summertime, you had mentioned that there are a number of indicators that this is going to be a strong period of time for tourism nationally, internationally, regionally. What was the focus of the geographic area of your earlier
comments? National U.S. should be doing quite well with the various travel intention surveys that people have been taking, particularly in the lodging sector. But of course, lodging leads all else. If people are staying in hotel rooms or going to restaurants and attractions and what have you, that seems to be partly still the sort of coming out of the recession. Did I say recession? Wasn't a recession, was it? Anyway,
no, it was depression.
Okay, coming out of our economic downturn. with a lot of repressed travel demand, pent up travel demand that people are finally feeling, comfortable. In fact, consumer confidence numbers are looking much stronger than they have since 2008, basically. So that part looks good. Again, there's always the issues of gas prices, and just news, basic.
Do you believe the numbers? Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But I would see tourism as being an individual decision rather than a mob mentality.
Well, of course, like all marketing, is both.
Yeah. Well, if everybody's going somewhere or everybody's doing something, okay, fine. But it's still going to be your home, your family, your decisions. Where are you in that kind of scenario? So does it make any sense to narrow the focus a little bit and see, okay, what's the West Coast looking like as far as traveling versus the entire country or the world coming into America, that kind of stuff?
Well, our marketing program has always had that focus. I mean, it's always been... The fact is, over 70% of our visitors are California residents, and 80+% of those are Northern California residents. So it's basically what they call the drive market has always been where most of the resources and marketing manpower and muscle go to. International has always been a steady piece of that, and that has been actually growing quite steadily. It used to be about 6% when I started this game. Now we're pushing 12, maybe even 15% of our visitors or the spending in our destination is by an international visitor.
So it may not be a foot count or head count, but that's the economic impact of the international.
Right, the dollar count is an important part. They do tend to stay at a higher end property, they do dine out more, whatever it is that...
Do they tend to be empty nesters?
The internationals?
Yeah.
They have the same breadth of variety as we do. People with different stages in their lives, but I've been walking in the Redwoods and I've had a whole family with three generations of Germans come down the trail.
Attack you and demand sauerkraut?
Wo ist der große Baum? Ja.
Good, you got your key phrases down. You mentioned gas prices. And I was it sixth consecutive reporting period? I don't know if that's 6 weeks in a row. Gas has gone up.
Yeah.
8 cents, I think I heard yesterday.
And it always seems to pick the sort of leading into the travel season.
The quote-unquote seasonal anticipation of da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I saw California prices are second behind Hawaii. But Montana is the low end. So we've got two rural, well, for our definitions, California being rural, two rural areas that have a buck and a half, $1.75 difference for a gallon of gas.
Mm-hmm.
Is that significant enough to take people to Yellowstone rather than the Redwoods? Or is that just kind of factored in and okay, fine?
Again, over 70% of our visitors are from California. So Northern California versus Yellowstone is not, you know, there's not much parity in that comparison.
Probably not, but if you're taking a week off, you know, not the weekend extended,
right?
But a week off. Is there, are there any thoughts that that could be an issue? Or the international traveler driving down the coast, taking a left at the Columbia River and going to see Glacier National instead of Redwood
for the,
National?
I wouldn't worry at all for the international. For, you know, first of all, they're taking a big vacation that they've been planning on for quite some time. And second of all, no matter what we pay for gas, they pay more. So
relatively speaking, it's not a concern.
No.
I can remember the first time it went over $4. There was a lot of fear that was going to keep people home.
We've been waiting for this shoe to drop for a long time.
Well, and I've seen some stuff that says it may touch $5 this year. But it seems like there's an insulation or a dumbing down, a frog in the water, whatever you want to, frog in the pot that has the water that gets warm, not a frog in the lake. Come on.
Sure. Well, you know, if you think about it, there's been a lot more emphasis in car advertising, what have you, on high mileage vehicles. So people are concerned about it. They're thinking about it. But against that is the ingrained American attitude that we have a right to drive, and that it's part of our lifestyle, part of our recreational profile, and we're not going to change that for a few dollars.
And that's kind of what it boils down to. Logically. Emotionally? Mm-hmm. Does that hold true also?
Not always. So I think if you can make people feel that they are saving a buck or two in your destination, you can come out ahead.
KINS, News and Information Times, 342. We'll be back with more from Tony Smithers.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers. Tony, summertime is around the corner. Guy Fieri had, I guess it's been a series of different shows highlighting businesses, food businesses in Humboldt County. Have you heard either anecdotally or demonstrably that either it's happening to those businesses, it's happening to our area, or that people will be scheduling their time during the summertime, whether it's a vacation or just a day off, coming through and touching on those businesses that have been highlighted on his program?
Well, I have to be honest and say I haven't heard specifically that we've had I know in Ferndale they reported they were getting visitors, but in terms of the gold rush it's also well believed and understood that when you are touched by the Guy Fieri brush, then people come. It happens. So we are waiting for it to happen. But I can also assure you that the businesses involved, the restaurants, are not just sitting down and waiting for it. They are talking to each other about how they can leverage the opportunity to promote themselves, to make sure that the traveling public understands that these are Guy Fieri approved.
These are where you want to go.
Yeah.
I would think a simple trifold in each of them would be real simple. And you guys have,
But we're also thinking about how to use social media and really spread that message far and wide. And
I think television's probably doing a pretty good job, don't you?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, interesting stuff. So you're excited about the coming summertime. Are some of those major construction projects going to be ready for this summer?
I understand that of course the hotel we already mentioned, the Holiday Inn Express, is slated to open this summer. It's 99 rooms in Eureka, with 1,000 rooms of meeting space, 1,000 feet of meeting space.
1,000 feet or 1,000 chairs?
1,000 square feet. So it's not a huge space, but you can do some stuff there. Then we also have, of course, at the south end of town on Broadway, have the new brewery that Lost Coast Brewery is building, not only to expand their brewing capacity, but it's going to have a tasting room and gift shop attached to it. And, beer tourism is a growing category.
Are they going to keep the downtown location in Eureka as well as that?
My understanding is, they'll keep the restaurant.
So the restaurant will stay in downtown Eureka. It's not going to move to the southern Eureka.
Correct.
Okay. It kind of seemed a little funny. It didn't look like there was a real view.
But, Lost Coast, just this last week, was named in the top 50 of American brewers. Out of something like, I think, 4,000 breweries in America, they're in the top 50. That's just in volume sales.
Yeah, micro doesn't count anymore, does it?
No. And so when they're able to expand their capacity with the new brewery, they're going to grow 3 or 4 times their capacity. So,
well, hopefully we'll see that reflected in employment figures here locally too.
Of course.
Yeah, that'd be kind of a kick in the pants. If folks are interested in getting more information, if they've got people coming to the area, or they're looking to do some of the weekend in your backyard stuff, just go to the website. Do you guys have, is it easy to find that kind of information?
Oh, it's all on there. It's redwoods.info or redwoodcoast.com. Both work.
Wow. And so does the phone.
So does the phone.
Yeah, okay.
But that's for out-of-area people. Don't call us.
Don't use the 4-4 number. Huh? Not the 800, just the regular. What do they call it? The local exchange.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, Highland. Okay. That goes back into the 60s. Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure. See ya.
We've been talking shop with Tony Smithers. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone else.